Hello and welcome. It's hour number two of our radio program, and the Tokyo Olympics getting started officially over the weekend. They've had some events earlier in the week, but it's our opportunity to discuss our level of interest, right? Level of interest as the Olympics get underway in Japan. On the Mather scale of interest, 1 to 10, what is our interest in these Olympic Games? We will give you that number and discuss why we have that number and much more. It's coming your way right now in hour number two. Got a case of those Olympic blues. Welcome in the beginning of another hour of the Ben Mather Show. We are in the air everywhere as we continue yodeling in a canyon, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR, emanating live from the belly of the audio beast here, the Fox Sports Radio studios. And we thank you for spending some time with us here in the overnight hours. If you're listening live, if you're listening to the podcast, then the sun might be up. So our lead this hour coming from the Tokyo Olympics, which officially gets started today. They've actually been underway for a few days. But later today, there'll be all the celebration of the Olympic Games as they get together there. They wave at empty seats at a stadium in Japan. So don't get used to these, right? This is actually an Olympic monologue, but it's one of a few. I don't know that I'll do another one. I know basketball is a big thing in the Olympics, and so maybe something will happen with Olympic basketball that will inspire a monologue, but this is the rare and appropriate Mather monologue about the Olympics. Not the obligatory Mather monologue about Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson. This is the rare and appropriate Mather monologue. Now, some of our P1s in the Mather militia wanted to know where I was at on the Olympics. Am I going to talk about it? Am I going to do shows on it? Some of the people that are newer to the show. And so let me address that right now. Let me nip this in the bud right now to avoid any future inquiries. Just like I try to, when people start sending me emails, hey, can I take the oath? No, you don't have to ask to take the oath. But as far as this is concerned, if you're saying, are we going to do Olympic coverage? No. Olympic basketball is fine. I prefer the NBA. A lot of you hate the NBA, but I prefer the NBA. These other sports just don't move the needle. They just don't move the needle. Talking about you, track and field, gymnastics, swimming, things along those lines. So we'll stop beating around the bush and get to the point, please. Get to the point, please. So let us discuss the question. And we'll do the time-tested scale of interest. So what is your level of interest in the Tokyo Olympics on the Mather scale of interest, 1 to 10, with 10 being anticipating your favorite team in the Super Bowl? You've been supporting them for years, and they're finally in the big game. So I am at a 2 on the Mather scale of interest. So I've got dinner menu, theater of the bizarre, and asbestos. And we will connect all of these things together. Now, first of all, the Olympics have never been, for me, a winner in sports radio, right? It's not good for business is what I'm trying to say. And I understand these Olympics, it's a redo. They were supposed to happen last year. Everything got canceled because of the pandemic, and some people still are screaming they should cancel these Olympics. But having done sports talk radio most of my adult life, I have come to grips with the realities of this format and this time on the calendar. It's the double whammy is what it is. You got the double whammy. You've got affiliates in many of our markets who end up covering up parts of the show to play tape-delayed Olympic coverage, which I find stale, but to each their own. And then we have the general apathy that I sense for the Tokyo Olympic Games. But the way I look at it, imagine, if you will, a dinner menu. Look at the dinner menu. What are we doing here in Sports Talk Radio? We are serving up prime rib and tri-tip, meat and potato for Sports Talk Radio. The Olympics, if you look down the menu at the very bottom of the page there, the Olympics, what they're serving up and dishing out are cauliflower and broccoli. Now, a lot of people like cauliflower, and many people like broccoli. But if you had a choice between prime rib, tri-tip, potatoes, and cauliflower and broccoli, most people would pick, other than the vegetarians, the prime rib and the tri-tip. And those are the facts. You might not be able to handle the facts, but those are the facts. And the main argument against the Olympics is it just does not appeal to the core audience of this type of radio. And you say, well, why not? It's sports. Yeah, but the Olympics have always appealed to non-sports fans. These are secondary sports that we don't regularly consume. It's just the reality of it. And it doesn't mean that the people that win Olympic medals haven't accomplished something great and all. That's not what it means at all. It just means that these are not things we normally consume, and you're not that into it. Now, secondly, it's a bit bittersweet that I have grown over the years to mostly ignore the Olympics. When I was a kid, I do have fond memories of watching various Olympic games with my dear old mom. But most of those memories are based in nostalgia, right? My youth flashing back, and all that has vanished into thin air. And looking back, it was really more about spending time with my mom than it was necessarily watching track and field or anything else. Ironically, though, my wife is the same way. She was born deficient of the sports gene. She's lacking the sports gene, but she is very excited to watch the pomp and the circumstance of the Olympics, which means occasionally over the next couple of weeks, I will be agonizing and throwing out sarcastic cheap shots as I sit on my ass and my wife watches the Olympics. And I'll be like, oh, yeah, play my phone or whatever. But I just don't do sappy well. And the U.S. Olympic coverage is dripping with heartwarming stories. Chicken soup for the soul. And trips down memory lane. Here's another tearjerker for you today. Very schmaltzy. For my taste, it's over-emotional. Now, I realize a lot of people love that. Can't get enough of it. Give me more, give me more, give me more. I'm not one of those people. I realize I'm in the minority. Clearly, this does very well. There's a large audience for this. And NBC is aware that the viewers are not hardcore. And so what do? They tug at your heartstrings. They want that visceral, emotional reaction. And that's what the Olympics provide. And the things I do get joy out of, I always side with the theater of the bizarre, the freaks of nature. And you know, I've had my itch scratched a couple of times over the last couple of days. The story we talked about in a previous episode, a bear crashing the softball venue, very amusing to me. That they won't allow fans in, and you know, the bear just doing whatever a bear does, a bear jamboree at the softball venue and baseball venue. My favorite story, it's going to be hard to top this one, is our friends in Poland sending too many swimmers and having to redirect six Polish Olympians who had been told they had made the Olympics, had been flown into Tokyo, and then had to fly back with their tails between their legs, the flight of shame, back to their home country, being told that they had sent too many swimmers. I also love, another story I got a kick out of from the Olympics, is the water for the swimming venues. I don't know if you saw this one or not. It's been going around the last couple of weeks. The water at the Tokyo Olympics swimming venue, out in the ocean, the triathletes will be in the ocean area there. Apparently it smells like a toilet that hasn't been cleaned. So you've got that as well. Now, final thought. Another reason to not be into the Olympics, to give the cold shoulder to the games, is the nonsense that is the rage of the day, right? Whatever the rage of the day is. The Olympics, what they had always sold as their core, their essence, publicly, there were two pillars the Olympics always sold. And you know exactly what they are. If you've paid attention at all, you know exactly what they are. Those two pillars are amateurism and also apolitical. That this is where the world comes together, and any grievances you have, you just kind of leave those aside. And it's a beautiful display of global unity. The world unites. And you know, if you're upset with this politician or that politician, this is not where you do it. And the Olympics have based that belief. Now, you say it's bull crap, and there have been people that have protested the Olympics, some famous protesting incidents over the years. But we can pump the brakes on the apolitical campaign, kind of, right? The Wokerati, members from the Wokerati there who have the Saddam touch, they will destroy everything they touch. And they have infiltrated now the asbestos from the Wokerati. It gets in your lungs, and it does not end well. It's really a self fulfilling prophecy. It's signing up to drink spider venom is what it is. Picture them holding flamethrowers and blowtorches on the hillside with a lot of tinder brush and then blocking the firefighters from putting out the flames. Now, what do I mean by that? The IOC, because of social media blowback, has relaxed the infamous Rule 50. Now, you know what the infamous Rule 50 is? That rule literally and figuratively prohibited political, racial, or religious propaganda. Athletes protesting is pretty much what it was. You know, it was written a little different, but it's, stop athletes from protesting. So now we've hardly heard much. There have been protests. The Olympics have been going on for a few days as we're doing this in real time, and there have been some protests. Specifically, the women's soccer players were all up in arms. And USA, the women complaining about everything. They're just very unhappy. And we're so happy they lost. We are openly cheering against them. We hope they are eliminated from the Olympics very soon. And that's it. So the ironic thing about this, though, the people running the Olympics, the people, the IOC, who I don't support them. I don't think they're particularly great people either. They're not sweet spirits. But the people behind the Olympics, they're not living in Suckersville. They're living in Realityville. They are fully aware of the pending doom. This has the makings of a financial Hindenburg if the protesting continues. And so market research has shown the top reasons that people watch the Olympics are to get an escape from the daily grind, unplug from the noise of the world. And then also B, and this is probably more important than A, wrap yourself in the flag. If you're watching sports and they're not hardcore sports, and they're really something that appeals to a very fringe group, then you say, okay, I'll watch it, but it's really because I love my country wherever I'm from. And maybe it's you're in the U.S., but you're from Italy and you love the Italian team or wherever, you know, wherever your roots might be from, your DNA originates from, and you pull for that country. And that, you know, selling of patriotism has always been a big thing. So, well, it's not right. It's not really real patriotism. Maybe that's true, but that's how they've done business. And so they've attempted the IOC. I love this story. It hasn't gotten a lot of attention, and we'll see if they continue this. But the people running the IOC have attempted to stonewall the protesting media coverage. All right, they're trying to cut the wokesters off at the pass. And they're trying to limit and not allow the media, social media channels to put this out on their own social media channels. Why? It's bad for business. So we are told the International Olympic Committee and the Tokyo 2020 organizers have teamed up to form Voltron, and they have actually banned social media teams from distributing photographs and the video clips of the various athletes complaining about this, that, and the other thing during the apolitical Olympics. Now, we'll see if that keeps up. I have my doubts. I imagine that this will still, it'll eventually get out. They'll be bullied into giving this information out and promoting it and all that stuff. But it's actually a brilliant strategy because it shows you the Mamelukes, where the Olympics are at this point. Imagine, athletes making this, about their agenda, whatever their protest of the day is, and you're saying, look at me and all that stuff. But you have no fans in the stands. These stadiums are empty. These venues are empty. And if it's not broadcast on television and it's not shown on the social media channels of the Olympics, you're really damaging the clout that one would gain from a look at me, I'm protesting, I'm cool type of moment. I mean, the Olympics are a made-for-TV spectacle. We all know that. In fact, nearly three-quarters of the budget the IOC has comes from television. From broadcast rights, not just in the U.S., but globally. A lot of it comes from the U.S. And so the people who are behind that, they have heartburn because they're dependent on people watching this. And a lot of the people that watch this are doing it to wrap themselves in the flag and to not deal with the protesting stuff. And so you can say it's nothing and you're making a big deal about it and people are going to continue to watch. Well, the ratings across the board since these protests started in sports have gone down. And this, if you start kicking the cash cow, watch out. All right, here's the Ben Maller Show. If you'd like to comment on any of that, we can certainly discuss. And we had a wild ending of the Dodger game against the the Giants' tremendous incompetence. We had a manager and a closer go AWOL, which is just a total dereliction of duties by Dave Roberts. So embarrassing. Dave Roberts is lucky I don't own the Dodgers, because I would have fired him if I owned the team after that. I would have fired his ass. You won the World Series last year. Congratulations.
You're fired.
You're done. Get out of here. See you later. And I'd go dig up Billy Martin and put him in the dugout. How about that? Anyway, all right, we'll take your calls and the whole thing here. 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. So there's some news percolating around the baseball world here. Are we about to get a leak, a very costly leak from the world of Major League Baseball? What would this leak be about? Inquiring minds would like to know. I'll tell you. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
I liked him in that spot. I really did.
No, no, no! Say no!
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Friday! Friday!
Damn! Este!
That I saw her boobs, now I'm a believer.
Thank God it's Friday, Friday.
Listen up, Maller Militia. The Ben Maller Show is the show of the people, by the people, for the people. Join the movement and follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow our executive producer. He is manning the phones, but he's more than just the call screener. He's the liar, liar, and the menace of the Fox Sports Radio Network. It's the Coop the Loop, Justin Cooper, and he's at UH Bronco Fan. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Big Rig Rob from the highways and byways of the Evergreen State writes in. He says, Ben, great job so far as usual, but if I may suggest a segment called the Maller Roast and Toast, which consists of you laying into people from the world of sports, first victim Dave Roberts. Now, my voice sounds a little off because I was screaming at my television watching the end of that Dodger game. And much like I am hoping the U.S. women's soccer team loses in the Olympics, I needed the Dodgers to lose that game. And people are upset. Now, we'll talk about this right now. So people are upset that the Dodger-Giant game, if you saw the end of it, there was a check swing that certainly appeared to be a strikeout that would have ended the game. They went to the third base, and the umpire said, no swing. And so that can prolong the inning, and then Kenley Jansen just pulled his pants down, dropped a deuce right on the mound after that. And so I'm happy that happened, because if the Dodgers had won that game, and Roberto, back me up on this, if the Dodgers had won that game, that would have reinforced bad behavior by Dave Roberts. The Dodgers needed to lose that game.
It doesn't matter, though. Dave Roberts already said, Jansen would have won the game if it wasn't for the first base umpire or in that at second base by that lousy player, Sheldon Noisy, who, by the way, great stretch there, by the way, by Noisy. Great job, dude.
Yeah. How about a wonderful closer does not need the umpire to make a call at the end of the game.
Exactly. Who? I didn't know. I didn't realize the first base umpire loaded the bases in the ninth there.
Yeah. No. And the thing, it made it even worse. You got these morons in the baseball media. I can't believe that these Dodger fans are booing Kenley Jansen. What are they supposed to applaud him? He's thrown away their entire season. The entire season's going out the window. They're not going to make the playoffs the way this is going. The Padres will pass them by. And they're supposed to sit there and applaud?
No.
It's ridiculous.
Three consecutive blown saves, by the way.
Yeah, no. The Dodgers would be, how many games up? Do the math, Roberto. I'm not good at math. How many games up would they be? Because Jansen blew the game Sunday in Colorado, two games against the Giants. And the Giants lost on Sunday to the Cardinals, I believe. So that's three games, which is really a six-game swing, right? I believe I'm correct on that.
I believe they would be up two games right now.
Yeah. Unreal. And it just shows you the arrogance of Dave Roberts. It's like, I'm going to stand by my guy. Your job is not to stand by your guy. Your job is to win the game, put the player out there. The fan was more knowledgeable than Dave Roberts as far as Kenley Jansen. and throwing him out there.
And then Walker Buehler's pitching a gem, and he gives up a soft single up the middle, and he takes him out right out of the game right away. Yet Kenley Jansen is vomiting all over the mound, and he waits to pull him till he blows the game.
Yeah. No, there was like at least three mistakes I counted by Dave Roberts. I should manage the Dodgers. Hire me. I'll manage them. I'd have to give up this job. But I would go. I would do it. I'd be willing to give it a shot. You know, I could manage some games.
It's awful.
You want that, Roberto?
As long as I'm the bench coach.
Oh, hey, listen, you guys don't understand. I'm Benny the Bopper. Okay, I understand what's going on out there. It's Benny the Bopper. And, you know, this whole
leading off the Dodger half of the first inning.
Thank you.
Benny finally. The Bopper. Moneyball Mallard.
That's been a while.
The nattering gay bomb of negativity.
Okay,
the shortstop. Number one in your hearts and minds and in the air everywhere. Ben Mallard.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. The crowd goes wild. Yes.
Crowd the last two nights. Yeah.
They're treating me like Kenley Jansen. They're booing me. Look at that. They're booing me. Yeah, but Walker Buehler, got to take him out because the book says once he gets around 100 pitches, he was at 99 pitches, and once you get to 100, your arm falls off. Somebody comes out to the mound with a – no, seriously. A lot of people don't know this, but the reason the 100-pitch mark is an amazing guardrail is when you get past 100 pitches, somebody comes out with a chainsaw and chops your arm off. It's amazing. Shocking. Oh. It is so maddening. The Giants are not that good. The Giants are not. I look at that team. I'm like, how the hell is that team? How do they have the record they have? It makes no sense. But they do. Yeah. And so congratulations. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if they made a deal with the devil or what.
They're just platooning. That's the whole thing. The platoon is working for them right now.
Yeah.
And the fact that Kenley Jansen blew the last two games.
Yeah.
It's been a little quiet on the Trevor Bauer front, huh?
Yeah, well, the next day, was it July 27th? Is that when there's the court date? There'll be more on it after that. So, what are you getting at, Coop?
I'm just wondering.
Would you like to expand on that? What are you?
No, my fantasy team's hanging in the balance.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I understand. Yeah, if you're betting on Bauer coming back, I think you might want to. Have a backup plan on the plan B. I think
maybe
you should
next
go
year.
With the plan B.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's a dynasty league, so you pick you can pick players to keep for next year. So it's like it's a tough one. It's a tough one.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, listen, I gave my thoughts based on the initial evidence. It's like I don't think there's enough for a criminal conviction, but that doesn't mean you can't have a civil lawsuit and still be suspended. And he's obviously in purgatory, Bauer, right now, but. So I'm doing the math. Now, Jansen pitched two-thirds of an inning, gave up four earned runs against the Giants. He gave up three earned runs in the previous game against the Giants and gave up a run against the Rockies on Sunday. So he's given up now seven runs in his last two innings of work. But everything's okay. Everything's fine.
And what he did last year.
We suck again.
And what he did last year, people still want him to be the closer, which is just maddening.
Yeah, but it did work out perfectly for Dave Roberts. He's his fall guy. Blame the umpire. And that's exactly, as you said, Roberto, that's exactly what he did, right?
Yeah,
blame the first base umpire.
Yeah,
it's his
fault.
Post
game on the way home, and on the way to work, and he was blaming it on the umpire, saying, Jansen would have got the save there.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm so happy, and I'm not ashamed to admit this. Again, lesson needed to be learned. If the Dodgers had pulled that game out, it would have reinforced bad behavior for Dave Roberts. And hopefully somebody has some balls in that organization
and say, what are you doing? They got away with it last year because they had they didn't need Julio to be a starting pitcher. So they were able to put him in the bullpen. They need Julio to be a starter this year. So they're not going to have that fallback plan this year in the playoffs. So
they're going to get wait till they trade for Kenta Maeda of the Twins. That's coming. They bring him back. Bring him back as the swing guy.
Bring Max Scherzer.
It happened. They'll go relatively cheap.
Greg Kimbrel.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he puts on that Dodger uniform and start puking on the mound like these other guys. I don't know. I'm a little concerned. Maybe we should have some kind of dance out in the bullpen to get rid of the evil spirits that are out.
Only Corey Knebel to come back. Corey Knebel was good, but he's still a ways away.
How far away is he? 50 miles away? Is that Riverside? Yeah. Where's he at? Do we know where he's
hopefully he comes back
Yeah.
September.
Anyway, is that enough Dodger ranting? Do we need any
yeah,
that's, new
more? Yes.
You
that's
around,
enough.
You went around Coop's, the Angels, Coop.
Yeah.
No.
Coop's going to do some hot Angel talk coming up next.
I'm down. Done with the Angels.
Eddie's got Pirate talk covered coming up later in the hour. On the ones, we'll have that. Very exciting.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we had a trade in Major League Baseball. I believe the trade deadline is a week from this Friday, so a week no,
it,
from today.
Yes, it's, they moved it up. This is how great baseball is. Baseball executives are so lazy. They don't usually do anything on the weekends. So the trade deadline my entire life has been July 31st.
First, yes.
But it's on July 30th because they don't want to work on Saturday. Is that not great? Is that not outstanding? The people, and this is what I heard. All these sports leagues, the NFL, the baseball, and obviously basketball, all the leagues, they have their headquarters in Manhattan. They all go out to Long Island on the weekends. They don't want to be bothered to have to do any work and go into Manhattan and do their job on Park Avenue or Fifth Avenue. So they don't have anything, any big decisions on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I work on the weekends, Eddie.
Do you?
Well, Sunday night I work.
Yeah. Nelson Cruz going to the Tampa Bay Rays in exchange for a couple of minor league pitchers. He's 41, seven-time All-Star. He's got 436 career homers, over 1,200 RBI. He has got 19 homers, 50 runs batted in so far this season.
Yeah.
Well, so he goes from Minnesota to Tampa.
The nerds are all excited. I was reading some of the reports on this, and they're like, oh, I can't believe the Twins. I love it. They got a hole. They got a hole of minor league players. Yeah,
okay. Two. I mean, yeah. Is that a haul?
Well, no, but that, for a 41-year-old designated hitter,
well, at least he's productive. Who knows? If these
no,
guys
he's
will
good.
Ever
no, he is
show.
Good. He's a thumper. He is. I mean, he's not Benny the Bopper, but he's Nelson the Thumper. He is.
Yeah.
He's good. And we'll see. Tampa Bay's a boring team, but sorry to that guy with Roscoe the Parrot that calls up. Anyway, so. We'll see. It's, Max Scherzer does have a no-trade clause, which just really means pay me extra money and then I'll go anywhere. So that's all that means. It is the Ben Maller Show. We will mix in some phone calls here. Lame jokes next hour. We have Maller to the third degree coming up in a little bit as well. But it could be a very interesting day in professional baseball as we are learning now that the ownership of the Cleveland Indians have decided on their new nickname. Yeah, they bowed down. They genuflected to the mob last year and said they're going to get rid of their nickname. So the Cleveland baseball franchise, well, here's the kicker. We don't know yet. We don't know the name yet. They haven't announced the name. But the rumors that we're hearing is that they have started to make merchandise with the new team name, preparing to, when you announce it, you want to then immediately go into people's wallets and take their money for the hats and the T-shirts and all that crap. And I guarantee you, if they have sent that stuff out, and there's some rumors on the internet that that's starting to, they're going to send that stuff out later today on, you know, Friday. If that happens, then you know some guy in the back at the sporting goods store or the Walmart is going to send out a tweet with the logo and the name of the team. So keep an eye on that. We could get the Friday news dump. The Friday news dump for the new nickname of the Cleveland Indians. What will it be? The Cleveland Guardians. They should go Spiders.
I like the Spiders.
I like Spiders.
They're going to go Dicksters.
The Dicksters! Yes. Well, that's a great idea, Eddie. That's a tremendous idea. And they could... they could have Dick and Dayton. I've seen photos of him. He reminds me of Lou Brown, the manager. Isn't that the name of the manager in Major League, Lou Brown?
Yes.
I think that's his name. Yeah. Doesn't Dick and Dayton kind of give any? We've all seen photos of him.
Dick's right up there, though. He absolutely is.
That to me, Dick and Dayton is, if I were to say he's a baseball person, he's Lou Brown from Major League. He's got that look.
Dick won't be denied.
Yeah. So I hope he calls up later. He usually does on Friday. We'll have to get his perspective here.
Dickster, they call me.
All these years, we never knew about the Dickster.
Had no clue. It's amazing. Were sitting there in the dark. We've seen the light now, Eddie. We've seen the light. I don't want them to change the name, but if they're going to do it, I think Spiders is the way to go. Spiders is the way to go. But you bring up a good suggestion, Eddie. That's a solid suggestion. But we'll see what they come up with. All right, it's Ben Maller Show on Fox. To the phones we go, and let's say hello to Falexis in Buffalo, cashing in a golden ticket. Hello, Falexis.
Ben, oh my God, I almost said hello, Falexis. Hi, Ben. Hi, everybody. Hello, Twitter world. Happy birthday.
Hey, Falexis. Falexis.
Hey, Ben.
Happy birthday,
Ben.
Whatever his name is. Very nice.
Yeah, Ben, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that you don't have to say hello, Twitter world. This is the real world. We're on radio. This is the real world. That's the Twitter world. This is the real world.
Yeah, Ben, Twitter world, I'm the real queen.
That's a lie. That's a lie.
No. Well, anyway, I was going to say I agree with you about the Summer Olympics, but you were to argue about something. I'll have a voto opera, whatever you call it, with you. How you like those beans?
Who? Coop, can you translate what Falexis just said? Can
nope.
you do that? No, you cannot do that?
No. Voto opera, okay. Or what the hell you call it.
Perfect.
Well, okay. Anyway, no, I agree with the Summer Olympics. I could care less about soccer, right? But I do like the opening and closing ceremonies. That's the only thing I really care about.
Your favorite part of the Olympics is the closing ceremonies. That's what you enjoy.
And the opening. I always love an opening, you know.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Well, yeah, it's this year is going to be even better. I might actually watch today because
I think it's coming up in like 3 hours, something like that.
Oh, I'll still be awake, so I can watch them parade around, wave at nobody.
Hey, Ben.
Ben's not here. Ben's not here. You left.
Why did Blind Scott go into a gay bar? He was looking for trying to feel a happy ending. I thought that was a good one.
Let's go to Sir Scratch Off. There's nothing to say, Eddie. There's nothing to say. Oh, he's gone. Sir Scratch Off is gone. All right, let's check in with
people. Are nothing. Never mind.
People are celebrating. They're dancing in the streets, Eddie. They're taking their pots and pans from the kitchen, running outside, and banging on them in celebration. Let's go to Beer Drinking Brian in the greater Kansas City area. Hello, Beer Drinking Brian.
What's up, man? First of all, I got to wish Howler and James a happy birthday from being a fellow Twin City resident, you know, for many years.
And your heart and your liver are still in Minnesota.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I hear from Grapevine, well, actually from her voice today, Halfpint is trying to write a poem about the show while she...
Spending the time productively.
Very good.
Yes, that's what we need. She can still provide content even in jail, Halfpint.
Yeah, she got out of that other jail and she's back here. And she,
oh, good.
Now you can go see her.
Okay.
Did you go visit her?
And then, visit? Yeah. And then, visit her?
Now I can tomorrow at 7 o'clock Central Time.
Okay.
So,
well, good.
I'll be out there tomorrow.
Send our best. Tell her that we're pulling for her. We hope her and her.
Well, I'm trying to see if I can take a picture and just send it out online, but I got to talk to her supervisor.
I don't want you to end up in jail next to her if you take a photo. So I don't know why you wouldn't be able to take a photo, though. I think if she's okay with it, you have to ask her permission, but I'm sure she's probably not looking
for jail where
Sunday
you take
best.
Cameras in or anything. Right, yeah.
Do you have to leave your phone behind? I don't know how that works. I've never done that.
I guess that's what they're saying, but they said if you talk to a supervisor...
The dogs are barking, Eddie! The dogs are barking!
I hear them.
They're going to eat somebody. But it's just been a rough week, but I'm sorry. Ain't been calling to give any updates, but there really hadn't been any updates except for that she did get moved back here. and she misses y'all to death. And
all right, well, we miss her, and keep us updated, Beer Drinking Brian, and send our best. Hopefully, send me the photo. I'll put it out if she approves of it. Make sure she approves of it. But thank
someone
you.
Is at the call.
So our friend Half Pint, if you missed it, Half Pint, one of our celebrity callers, most decorated couple in the history of the Bennies.
I love
the
my awards. Week.
The awards we do for the P1s, the people that contribute content to the show, and Beer Drinking Brian and Half Pint is currently locked up. And we're not sure how long she's going to be in. She might be released next week. She could be in for 5 years. She violated her probation.
Ow.
Maller to the third degree is straight ahead. Here's the Insta trivia. Milwaukee Bucks guard Drew Holiday over the last three games of the finals had 52 points, 31 assists, and 10 steals. Since the NBA started tracking steals in the early 70s, only two other players have recorded that type of stat line over a three-game span. They are Larry Bird and blank. Larry Bird and blank. That is the Insta trivia. Maller to the third degree next.
Hey, this is Half-Pint, and I love the Ben Maller Show.
We love you.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Most are unable to lend an ear to the Ben Maller Show all night long, but with podcasting, you get caught up on unique show moments that you might have missed. The Ben Maller Show podcast is available on iHeart and wherever you get your podcasts. It's a piece of cake and upsets the corporate guys. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios... It's me. Ben has had some technical issues, and so it's going to be Garcia to the third degree.
Woo!
It's Maller.
How about that?
To
Garcia.
The third degree.
This no, I'm not ready.
This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Koopa Loop.
All right, Eddie. So yesterday during the show, we talked about how Stephen Jones was asked about his worst mistake as during his tenure as VP of the Cowboys. So I wanted to ask you, Eddie, what do you think Jerry Jones's biggest mistake was?
Well, I think there's no question it was deciding that he was more important than Jimmy Johnson, the guy who actually coached the team. Jerry Jones has always had, obviously, a tremendous ego, and, you know, most of those rich guys do that end up buying sports franchises. But he said it himself, right, when he got all teary-eyed, allegedly.
So that's
and,
right, I heard that.
Look, it's there's no question. He never should have had issues with Jimmy Johnson. Swallow your pride, do what's best for the team, and never should have fired Jimmy Johnson. Next!
So, this question is not as relevant for you, Eddie, but TMZ caught up with Eric Dickerson yesterday, and he discussed the injury to Cam Akers, that it was a no-brainer for the Rams to bring back Todd Gurley. Would you sign off on that deal?
No, I would not. I mean, look, Todd Gurley had his time with the LA Rams, was very productive for a while, but I think that ship has sailed. There are better options than Todd Gurley. I think I might even sign Adrian Peterson before I would sign Todd Gurley. So no, I would not go back to the Todd Gurley well, and I'm pretty confident that Ben would echo those sentiments as well.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Next.
Now, I know that you're going to be really passionate about this one, Eddie.
Oh, really?
You may have heard reports this week that the Lakers have interest in Chris Paul or Russell Westbrook. Now, I know you don't like basketball.
That's
but
not true.
If the NBA,
there
if,
you go.
If you had to choose one, who do you think would be a better fit on the Lakers?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I did see these reports, actually, and it did kind of crack me up. I don't know how the Laker guys on the staff felt about it, but if I have to go between those two, I think it's pretty obvious you go with Russell Westbrook, right? I mean, he would be coming back home, so I guess that would be part of the storyline that he would be excited about that, perhaps. And you know, as much as he has his issues and maybe not the greatest team player in the world, he can still put up the numbers. Chris Paul, as Ben would tell you, and I think a lot of other people, he is certainly susceptible to injury. He's going to be another year older, and he has the track record of, coming up short again and again and again and again. So, I mean, it seems to be a no-brainer to me, but I will let you guys chime in since you're Laker fans. I would definitely take Russell Westbrook.
Well, Eddie, I disagree with you just because I think Westbrook's not a team player and he has to be like the first option. But even though I disagree with you, you pass this edition of Garcia at the third degree.
Oh, how about that? Yeah. I like that. Thank you very much. It was well learned. Well learned. Where are you, Ben?